The truth of unsatisfactoriness, the noble truth of suffering, O monks, is this. Birth is suffering, aging is suffering, sickness is suffering, death is suffering, association with the unpleasant is suffering, disassociation from the pleasant is suffering, not to receive what one desires is suffering. In brief, the five aggregates of grasping are suffering.
Good evening, Dharma friends. Today we are going to talk about the first noble truth, the truth of dukkha. The word dukkha is translated into English as suffering. However, this term does not convey the full meaning of the word dukkha. While the word dukkha has meaning of suffering, pain, miseries, it also has higher philosophical meaning of the term, which is imperfection, unsatisfactoriness, impermanence. As the Buddha pointed out, understanding the concept of dukkha is very important if you were to attain enlightenment. Four noble truths are centered around the concept of dukkha. First of all, let's go through this paragraph which we just read, which was taken from Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, as it read, Jatipi dukkha, birth is suffering. What does it mean? The birth is suffering. Here the term birth is used to mean from the time of the conception in a womb until the time that we exit from that womb. So this period is known as birth. During this period, the whatever physical and mental pain and suffering that we undergo can be labeled under this. On the other hand, why birth is recognized as a part of suffering? It's because the rest of the sufferings come into existence as a result of the birth. Jarapi dukkha. Aging is suffering. The moment one is born to the world is the moment one starts to get old. Every single moment we are living, we are getting old. We are growing older. When we are getting older, it's very obvious that our beautiful skin become wrinkled. Vigor and youth will be gone. The body will become weaker. The black color hair will turn into be white. Our sense faculties will lose their sharpness. Sometimes we will lose our eyesight, hearing capacity, or sometimes even perhaps memory. Such is getting old, and that is a part of our life. No one can deny it. There are thousands of people in old folk homes confined themselves to these places. Every old man once was a young man, able and capable. Every old woman once was young, beautiful, and attractive. Sati is getting old. Vyadipi dukko. Falling sick is a suffering. We do not want to fall sick. But we will fall sick against our will and wish. Sometimes we are physically sick, at other times we are mentally sick. Some of the diseases can be cured, some other diseases cannot be cured. Undergoing acute pain and suffering, there are thousands of patients in hospitals, nursing care centers. They are undergoing medical treatments. Some of these people are dying so too slowly. Physical diseases as well as mental diseases cause much agony, much suffering. And this is also part of the life. We cannot deny. During this period of our existence, we specifically talk about coronavirus. Many people are dying every day because of this. Maranampi dukkhang. The death is suffering. We do not want to die if possible. We would like to live forever. But the death will come. The death is the greatest threat to life. And that creates a lot of miseries and sufferings again. There's no particular time for the death. The death can happen at any time. Sometimes, when babies are born, they are already dead. Some die after a few hours or few months. People can die in their prime youth, in their middle age, or in old age. There's no particular time. There is also no particular place. It can happen anywhere. Like a flower or a fruit can fall from a tree to the ground. So is the death. It can happen anytime, anywhere. People die because of old age, sickness, or natural disasters, human-created conflicts. There can be many causes of the death. However, that is suffering. Appiehi sampayogo dukko. When we have to put up with unpleasant conditions and unfavorable situations and people, then we will have suffering again. Imagine that you have to put up with someone rest of your life that you do not like to, and that is a suffering. If you are stuck in such a relationship, that will create suffering day and night. If you were to work in a place where you do not like to mingle with the others because of many reasons you do not like the other person, and that might create sufferings to you. So the relationships, the people that you do not like, and when you have to put up with them, that is suffering. Unfavorable conditions. Economic, political, social conditions that we have to put up with against our will and desire will create a lot of sufferings. Imagine that you have to live in such a situation, in such places, in countries where there is no freedom, where there is bloodshed, violence, oppression, suppression, and that is suffering. Piehi vipayogo dukko. When you have to be separated from pleasurable, favorable conditions, or when you have to be separated from your loved ones with whom you like to remain forever. And that creates suffering. When you lose your mother, father, your relatives, friends, loved ones, your children, that creates immense suffering. We do not wish to be separated. We wish to remain with our loved ones. But when we have to be separated from them, that creates suffering. When we are having favorable, pleasurable conditions in life, we wish them to be ours forever. Pleasurable, favorable sight, sound, smells, touch, sensations are so dear and near to us, and we wish they will remain with us forever. But when we have to be separated from them, we suffer again. Yampichang nalabati tampi dukkang. When you do not receive what you want, or when you cannot achieve what you desire, that itself creates a lot of suffering. As human beings, we have so many types of desires, aspirations, wishes. Even though we were to work hard to achieve them, and not all of these wishes are fulfilled. Sometimes we achieve them, sometimes we do not achieve them. Even though we were to achieve them, and they will again change and disappear, and we had to be separated. And that again creates suffering. Venerable Sariputta, in Sacca Vibhanga Sutta, in very detail explained how people suffer because of not getting what they desire. One of the statements he says, Jara dhammanang auso sattanang evang iccha uppajjati aho vatamayang na jara dhamma assama naca vatanno jara agacchayati na kopanetang icchaya pattabbang idampi ampicchang nalabati tampi dukkang. Friends, to those who have the nature of getting old, this kind of desire will arise in their mind. Indeed, it is good if we do not have the nature of getting old. May old age not come to us. This wish cannot be achieved only through desire. When you cannot achieve that, that itself is suffering. In the same manner, he explained many other aspects of life. As human beings, we wish to remain young forever, but against our will and wish, we are getting old. We wish to remain healthy forever, but sometimes we have to fall sick. We wish to remain surrounded by our loved ones, but we have to separate from them. We want these pleasurable, favorable, sensual pleasures to be ours forever, but we have to change. We have to separate when they change. So when we cannot get what we want, that itself creates suffering. At the end of this paragraph in the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, as you have read it, it said, Sankittena panchupada nakkhanda dukkha, in nutshell, in summary, five aggregates of clinging are suffering. This statement has got a profound meaning. This is the most difficult aspect of the concept of dukkha to be understood. However, I will explain it a little bit more in a while. Now, this paragraph has got 8 statements. And the last statement, as I said, the Buddha summarized that five aggregates of clingings are suffering. Now, in order to understand the concept of the dukkha, we need to understand it in its three broader aspects. The first aspect of the dukkha saccha is to be understood as dukkha dukkata, means ordinary suffering. This can be understood very easily. And these are the unpleasant, painful, miserable aspect of the human life. Whether physical or mental pain and suffering are included here. As we already discussed, when we are getting old, falling sick, when we die, and we have to put up with those unpleasant conditions, suffering arises in our body, in our mind. This acute pain and suffering is easily understood, and that is called dukkha dukkata. Means dukkha as ordinary concept understood by every human being. No one will deny this aspect of the truth. The second aspect is known as viparinama dukkha. Dukkha produced due to changes. Hear what it means. All the pleasant, favorable conditions in life, they are not permanent. They are subject to change and disappear. Even though in life there are so much pleasure, joy that we can derive through sense gratification, through our relationship, through achieving various material aspects, but they are not permanent. They are subject to change and disappear. Even though we wish to remain with them forever, and it cannot be done. Our five sense faculties always looking for the opportunities to gratify. Our eyes are waiting to see beautiful forms. Ears want to hear beautiful sounds. Nose wants to smell sweet things, so on and so forth. But eventually body change, these sense faculties lose their sharpness. Sensual pleasure themselves are changing. Once you may enjoy seeing someone who is very beautiful, very attractive, but that very person is losing the beauty. Day by day, that person is getting old. When that happens again, the beauty disappears, attraction disappears, and unsatisfactoriness appears. So what it means here, in second aspect of the truth, all the pleasant, favorable aspect in life also eventually disappear. And when that happens, that create again suffering. Yada nichang tandukkang. Whatever is subject to change and disappear, that is again suffering, dukkha. Even though we were to look into or hang on to our wealth, power, popularity, glory, fame, thinking that they can provide us lasting happiness, lasting solution, they cannot. They can give us only temporary satisfaction. So in ultimate sense, they are not ultimate refuge. They cannot give us complete satisfaction. Even in the mid of sensual pleasure, we will still feel some degree of emptiness, hollowness, unsatisfactoriness. again and again we satisfy our sensual desire, but again and again we feel we are wanting more and more and more. So without an end, we have become slaves. So this is the second aspect of the truth of unsatisfactoriness or dukkha. So this is called dukkha created through changes, specifically related to pleasant aspect. The third aspect of the dukkha is sankhara dukkha, means dukkha as a conditioned state. This is the deepest aspect, more philosophical aspect. This is what the Buddha mean when he said, in nutshell, five aggregates of clingings are suffering. Sankittena panchupada nakkanda dukkha. So what does it mean? In order to understand this, we need to understand who we are. According to the Buddhist teachings, we are connected, compounded forces and energies, which are divided into five groups, five aggregates. This so-called human being is functionally unified psychophysical forces, energies, which are interdependent and interrelated, and they function together. They are always changing. First of them is the material aspect, rupa. That's included our body. Body is made of various types of forces and energies. Mythologically, they are recognized as earth, water, fire, and wind. But these are mythological terms to mean atomic and subatomic particles or properties or elements, in other terms, which can be expressed as solidity, fluidity, heat, and wind. Most importantly, in this body itself has got five sense faculties, which are hot spots, which give us the opportunity to grab the sensual pleasure. So this first aspect of the five aggregates cover up the material aspect. The other four together, feelings, perceptions, mental formations, consciousness, they represent the mental aspect. So these five aggregates together functions, and they are always changing. What happens to ordinary human beings? We recognize these five aggregates of clinging as I, me, or mine, because we tend to take five aggregates as permanent, everlasting. But according to the Buddhist teaching, there's nothing permanent, nothing everlasting. Every single moment, our body and mind, they are changing. So these five aggregates of clingings, they are flowing like a river without stopping, even for a single moment. So at any given moment, the eyes, material aspect, feelings, perceptions, mental formation, consciousness, and every single moment they are arising and passing away. But this process is misunderstood by ordinary human being to mean I and me. So this concept, which is called Sakkaya Ditti, identifying five aggregates of clinging as I, me, or mine in ordinary human terms. When it comes to religious terms, they will recognize the same concept as soul or spirit. That is religious terms. Whether you use the term soul or spirit or I or me or mine, all these are used to mean to indicate that there is someone behind these five aggregates of clinging and enduring the time and space, which is not. So according to the Buddhist teachings, there is no feeler behind the feelings, only feelings. There is no thinker behind the thinking, only thoughts. There is no perceiver behind the perception, only perceptions. So we mistake these five aggregates of clinging to be I, or me, or mine, but that concept creates attachment. So what will happen then? The moment we attach to five aggregates of clinging and identify them as I, then we create self-centered, blind attachment. We create self-centered, blind attachment. I, me, and mine. Why it is blind? Because we do not see things as they are. We see that there is someone behind this process. However, this itself manifests as greed, hatred, and delusion. When you have self-centered, blind attachment, then we tend to pull everything towards us, towards me, towards I. Like the earth pulls everything towards its center because of its gravity, we tend to pull whatever pleasant, favorable sight, sound, smells, touch sensation, and whatever we like. And all these pleasurable things will be attracted by us. We want them. We will grab them. We want them to be ours forever. This is called attraction, greed, lobha. And whatever we do not want, suppose there are unfavorable, unpleasurable, unpleasant types of sight, sound, smells, touch, sensation, and so on and so forth, all these sensual pleasure. So what do we do there? We hate them. We repulse. We push them out. We do not want them. This creates hatred. So in one way, when we pull things towards ourselves, we create attraction. When we push things out of us, that create repulsion, hatred. And we do not see as they are the true nature of the five aggregates, which is delusion, ignorance. So these three comes together, combined together, and that is the cause of all the miseries and suffering. So this is the highest aspect of the concept of dukkha, which is to be understood. It cannot be fully understood through theoretical study, but it can be understood to some extent through analyzing, scrutinizing, through intellectual level, but full realization will comes when you practice meditation. What will happen to the ordinary human beings then? When ordinary human being feel a pleasant feeling, he or she will grab it, attached to the pleasant feelings. And then when the pleasant feelings change and disappear, that person suffer. When unpleasant feeling arise, then that person will grab that unpleasant, painful feelings, thinking it's I, me, and mine. In that case, that person will prolong suffering furthermore. When neutral feelings arise, since the person cannot see properly the five aggregates of clinging, and that person is still attached to neutral feelings through ignorance, So, when the pleasant things arise, we attach to them through greed. When unpleasant things arise, we attach to them through hatred. When neutral feelings arise, we attach to them through ignorance. Greed, hatred, and ignorance. These three again will nourish the self-centered blind attachment, which is Sakkaya Ditti. Now, only the enlightened ones are free from this. Thereby, they are completely free from suffering. In fact, to understand the life in its proper way, we need to look at the life objectively. So Buddhism encourages us to look at the life from three aspects: Asada, Adinava, and Nisarana. I'm not going to elaborate them, but I just have to mention them here for a very important reason, because someone might think, taking the first noble truth, which is the Dukkha, that Buddhism represents the pessimistic view in life, which is not true. Buddhism avoids both pessimism and optimism, and in fact, Buddhism looks at the life as it is, yatha bhutang. So it is a realistic teaching. It encourages us to see things as they are. So Buddha encouraged us to look at the pleasurable, favorable side of the life. Buddha never says that there is no pleasure. There is sensual pleasure, gratification. Buddha clearly says, if there is no pleasure, if there is no gratification, then beings will not be attached to them. Precisely, there is enjoyment in sensual pleasure. That is why they are attached to it. Pleasure is only one aspect. Buddha also encouraged us to see the other aspect of it, which is adinava, unpleasant, miserable aspect of the life. And when we understand both this pleasant and unpleasant aspect of the life as it is, for those who have courage, Buddha gives an option. There is another aspect to it, which is liberation. And liberation comes through complete detachment. When you have pleasant aspect of the life, you are attached. When you have unpleasant side, you are also attached. But when you're completely free from attachment, you are liberated. So why I mention this? Because there might be some who wish to interpret Buddhism as pessimistic. I also have to tell another one more point in a very nutshell. Dukkha is only the first noble truth. There are three more truths. So by learning only the first noble truth, if someone were to say that Buddhism represents a pessimistic view, that is a biggest misunderstanding. We need to understand and accept the other three truths as well. So four noble truths should not be separated. In fact, they are interconnected. They are interrelated. So first truth is, of course, what we talk about, Dukkha. And Buddha also talk about the cause of it, and how we can achieve the highest bliss and happiness, Nibbana, freedom from Dukkha, and then a systematic path proclaimed by the Buddha how to achieve that goal. In fact, the goal of the Buddhist practice is Nibbana, means highest bliss and happiness. There might be questions still, why Buddha emphasized Dukkha in the first place as first noble truth. Why not the Nibbana? However, I don't think we have much time to elaborate all these factors here. Moving forward, we are going to have a few more talks. Perhaps maybe if the time permits, we will elaborate such aspect as well. So with this, we will end up this sharing, which is related to the first noble truth, and we will continue our chanting of the Dhammacakkasutta.